Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Again, we will be shortly joined here, we believe, by Andrew Adams. He's at a meeting this morning here with he's the emergency preparedness coordinator with the health department. Of course, it's a busy time to be a health official right now, especially at any level. John Ford here joins us here from the Riley County Commission, though. Do you envy your health department staff at this point?
I have a lot of respect and admiration for our health staff here. They do an outstanding job. We've made some transitions and we've got some openings and stuff available there. But, you know, really, they've got a good pulse and know the voice and the conscience of things here and really on top of things, including coronavirus. But, you know, all throughout the year, we prepare for different scenarios, too. We just had a recent tabletop discussion with community partners, including, you know, RCPD, K-State Police, K-State, both city, county, I think even the FBI was somebody from the FBI here locally was there too, dealing with a man-made potential disaster like what happened in Oklahoma State a few years back with the car kind of running through and hitting pedestrians and stuff. So we take some of those scenarios and we kind of apply them to what we have here, and everybody, you know, each department kind of goes through and talks and discusses what they would do in the event of that. We obviously hope that never happens, but, you know, if and do, we've had at least a discussion about those. And I think that's important to do, and that it builds confidence amongst groups. And, you know, when crisis happens, everybody knows exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it and who's responsible for this and who's responsible for that. It also played out pretty well last year with the EOC that we had established for, you know, potential flooding. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, that ended up being kind of a test run, as I like to call it. But, you know, if we had pushed a little bit further and actually went through the, you know, entire flooding like we did back in 93, I think we would have been far more prepared for it. And that's because of the people that we have. So,
yeah.
Talking, you know, while in Washington, D.C. last week and listening to people from other parts of the country, they struggle in this area. There's large counties, small counties, rural counties that have less than 1,000 people that don't really have a good grasp of what's going on there, yet we do. So it makes me feel good that I'm here in Riley County and know that we're moving forward with those things and we're doing very well, you know.
Now, I've only been in the community for a little less than 2 years, but as I understand, it wasn't always Riley County was not always involved with the health department.
Correct. It was a city based. I don't know for how long, to be totally honest with you, but they kind of.
It was a city county joint effort.
Yeah.
55% of the financial responsibility was from the city and 45% from the county. And that came to an end, it was during my term, so yeah. It was like 2013 or so.
I think
so,
it was 20. In there, and they tried to kind of go through a transitional model, and mm-hmm. It just didn't kind of work, and the city just didn't want to deal with that part of it anymore, so we kind of went through a transition. I think we had one director there for a very, very short amount of time, and then we basically hired Dr. Green right after she was done with school, and she came in there and took it and just rolled with it and ran with it, and built it up to what it is today, and Julie Gibbs is doing a wonderful job coming in behind her, and I think we're going to be in a good shape there for a very, very long time, to be honest with you. Yeah. And once again, that's just a testament to having good people, knowing that you have good people. And from my perspective, I'm a commissioner that doesn't necessarily like to micromanage things and don't feel like I need to necessarily, but I think you put the right people in place and you let them do their job, and if they do their job correctly, you're going to have good results.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they've got a lot on their plate. Not just this, but they handle WIC, handle flu shots out there, and pretty much anything you need.
And they do several different other communal events, and part of intergovernmental discussions and stuff too. On top of that, so yeah, they're really on top of it, and they really, really do a good job.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about yesterday's meeting at the county commission. You guys did talk a little bit about emergency services here, kind of getting, I guess, a cost estimate here for what it costs EMS for Fake Patty's Day specifically.
Correct. We're up over a little over $3,200. I did ask Director Adams, if that was based, what those estimates were based off of, and it wasn't just like a one-year thing, but kind of a cost estimate over the last 4 years. And as we know, different activities happen. Mother Nature plays a role in that. Last year, it felt like it was about 8 below, but some years it's 70 degrees. This Fake Patty's Day, it's just kind of a unique event all the way around the board, and it's just, from my perspective, it's very hard to distinguish who should be responsible for it. A lot of it happens offsite at private entities. Places around the city kind of use that as, you know, for different things that they may do at a restaurant or another bar outside of the Aggieville district. So from my perspective right now, I'm really not for sure how we go about that just yet. So it's a continual discussion that we'll continue to have. I hope some community partners get involved in that discussion as well to kind of balance it out a little bit. But it is a large expense. It takes a lot of different personnel to bring in, because you have to remember, we have to keep up with just regular day-to-day operations and be functional there too, and then have the support system in place to handle this particular event. We handle other events. I know we've made a comparison to Country Stampede, but Country Stampede kind of had its own management and asked for these services specifically. Nobody really is for this particular event right now. So that's another angle that's got to be discussed and incorporated into the discussion as well. So, you know, I don't know where we're going to go with that just yet. I'm pretty sure we're going to have several discussions after the 21st. I think it's on the 21st, right? Couple weekends. And we'll kind of continue to develop a discussion based off of that.
And it is a unique event because half the community doesn't like it at all. And then there's half the community that's like, well, you know, it's freedom. You know, people can do what they want here. And it's kind of morphed into this big thing. But you know, I don't know that people necessarily think about the cost it has on on the county and on the city services that are provided.
And keep in mind, that's just for ambulance EMS too. That's not city fire, city resources, RCPD. I know there's been several years where we've had to call out as far as Shawnee County and Lyons County to bring in resources in there too. So there's an added extra cost on top of that. I think when you look at the overall picture on that, you know, for as much profit or as much revenue through sales tax or whatnot that gets created by the community and by local businesses, how much of that gets offset once again by the money that we have to spend to, you know, basically bring those resources in? And that I don't have a clear answer of just yet. I guess we could go through some sales data during those periods of time over the last couple of years through the county, and maybe try to get some city figures and try to balance that out and kind of see where we're at. But, you know, nobody's actually sponsoring or really in charge of the event. That's another unique part of it. It just kind of happens on a yearly basis, and they kind of set a date and boom, they kind of roll with it. So there's really, at this point in time, nobody you really go to and say, you know, you need to write us a check or whatever for these particular services. So we will talk with the I have a meeting next week with Dennis Cook, director of the Aggieville Business Association. There's a couple of topics I want to talk to him about. This is one of them there, to get some further perspective from as many different sides on this particular issue as I can. So yeah. And we'll see how that goes.
All right. Yeah. And what's the rest of the commission's feeling on this issue?
I'm not for sure. I do know they're aware, just as I am, that this is a very large expense. There's a lot of resources. There's been several years, 2008, 2009, where I think the community and everybody as a whole felt that this got very much so out of hand. And we've worked very, very hard using those resources to kind of keep it, you know, within its own containment there. And once again, just much like the coronavirus, you know, public health and public safety has got to be the number one priority in that scenario as well. So the discussion will continue on that, and it'll probably conclude with data from this year. And we'll just have to go from there and see where it goes. But I do want to talk to, you know, as many different entities and get as many different points of contact and get as much information from the community as a whole. So it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. We will come back with more In Focus after this. News Radio KMAN.